Welcome to Life Church. We are an Acts 2:42 community, a family on a mission to bring the life of Jesus to Warrington. We hope you're ready to hear what God has to say to you today through His Word and by His Spirit.
Good. Today's is Resurrection Sunday. Every Sunday is a Resurrection Sunday in the life of a Christian. But it is a significant Sunday. And Tim Keller, American preacher, pastor, pro-church planter, he says this. He says, if Jesus rose from the dead, then you have to accept all that he said. If he did not rise from the dead, then why worry about what he said? The issue on which everything hangs is not whether or not you like his teaching, but on whether or not he rose from the dead. Billy Graham, he said these words. He said, without the resurrection, the cross is meaningless. And the Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the church at Corinth, he reminded them that if there is no resurrection, then our preaching is useless. You might think my preaching is useless anyway, but you understand what he's saying, yeah? My preaching is useless. He says we're false witnesses. He says if there's no resurrection, our faith is futile. If there is no resurrection, Paul reminds the church at Corinth that we're still in our sin. But at the end of that chapter, Paul reminds the church, and he reminds us this evening, but Christ has indeed been risen from the dead. And so this evening, we're going to look at John chapter 20. All four Gospels document the resurrection of Jesus' resurrection. And what I would like us particularly to do this evening is to look, we're going to look at Mary Magdalene and how she relates to the story and those times around the cross and the resurrection and the news coming that Jesus had risen from the dead. So John chapter 20 verse 1, this is what the Bible says. And Lord, we thank you for your precious word. We thank you that these events have been recorded, that we would know and we could be sure about all that happened 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem. And Lord, this evening as we read, as we listen, we ask you, Holy Spirit, to quicken and to teach us. Lord, let there just be one or two things this evening that just find a place in our hearts where your seed, the seed of your word can flourish and grow in order that we might understand you more and carry on that journey of becoming more like you. Amen. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him. And then verse 11. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, woman, why are you crying? And that's something that I quite often say in my house. I have four daughters and a wife. I don't say, woman, why are you crying? But I say, why are you crying? Yeah, so woman, why are you crying? They have taken my Lord away, she said, and I don't know where they have put him. At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize it was Jesus. He asked her, woman, why are you... They asked her, why, woman, why are you crying? And then Jesus asked her, woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you're looking for? Thinking he was the gardener, she said, sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. Jesus said, do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, I have seen the Lord, and she told them that he had said these things to her. It's a video now, thanks.
second-class citizen. Who or what comes to your mind when you hear that term? Whether we're watching the news or listening to the gossip of strangers in the coffee shop, a second-class citizen is that person who isn't afforded the same dignity or respect as the rest of us. At the time of Jesus, this is how people would have viewed Mary Magdalene. As a follower of Jesus, Mary was not only a woman in a male-dominated world, but also someone with a past that should have squelched her hopes and her potential. But her story, in a way that only God can write, became one that was full of significance, love, and influence. You're invited into a moment of reset and discovery, because the events around the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus are the absolute answer to every longing heart. May God give us eyes to see.
And so this character, Mary Magdalene, she was someone who journeyed with Jesus and is mentioned particularly around the time of Jesus' death and his resurrection. Mary is only mentioned by name in the New Testament 12 times, Mary Magdalene. And 11 of these 12 are mentions around her witnessing the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus. Mary was an ordinary follower of Jesus. She was one of the group around Jesus that offered Jesus support practically. And she was someone who the Gospel of Mark records was someone who went with Joseph of Arimathea when he took down the body of Jesus from the cross. The Bible says he placed it in a tomb in Mark 15. He rolled the stone against the entrance. And Mark 15 verse 27 says, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, saw where Jesus was laid. So she had a unique viewpoint of those days around Jesus' death and resurrection. All of the Gospels record her being at the resurrection. And what she did on that morning that's recorded in John chapter 20, she was going to do the equivalent of what we would do. She was going to take flowers, as it were, to the tomb. Instead of taking flowers, they would take perfume. It was a sign of respect. It was in order to keep the aroma around the tomb sweet and smelling while the body was going through a period of decay. And so she was just doing her duty. She was seeking to be honoring of her rabbi. The thing that's interesting about Mary Magdalene is that she was someone who had kind of a checkered past. Wrongly, some have said that Mary Magdalene was a prostitute. There is no biblical evidence to say that Mary Magdalene was a prostitute. That was made up by a pope in the 6th century who clearly had ulterior motives to want to smear Mary Magdalene. But what we do know is that in Luke chapter 8, Mary, the follower of Jesus, the Bible says that she had been delivered from 7 demons. So clearly, she was a woman, she was a lady who had had some serious spiritual issues going on in her life. But it seems that when she met Jesus, those were changed, those were dealt with, and her life was transformed. And this is the Mary that we're talking about this evening. Whoever she was, and the message is this evening, whoever you are, whoever I am, what we see is that Jesus welcomed Mary Magdalene into his world. She was a witness. She was a first-hand witness to those events that happened. She was a woman who had a checkered past. She had everything really going against her. But Jesus recognized her potential. He recognized who she was. And Jesus invited her to walk close to him. And for all of us this evening, we all have a story. We have a story. We have a story of how we've come to be in this meeting tonight. And there are parts of my story that I would stand on the stage and I would tell you with great pride, yeah? Like when I was about 7 years old, I found a magic ticket at Hyde Park and I was able to go into a fairground celebration that was a ticket-only event. And my photograph made it into the newspaper, and it was Lucky Lucas makes it win a double, yeah? So we've all got those stories where things go well for us, yeah? Things happen in our lives that we'd be proud of, that we talk about, our graduation or the happy moments in our family. But all of us also this evening, we have things really that we really would not want to talk to anyone else about. Like, we're embarrassed about them. There are things that I've said and done in my life that I'm just not very happy about. Like, I regret those things. And the amazing thing is that, like, you accept me this evening because of what you see of me. And I accept you because of what I see of you as well. But the wonderful thing is that with Jesus, that we are fully known and we are fully loved. And, you know, whatever our history is, Jesus invites us to walk close to him. And that's what Mary Magdalene's experience was. She may have had seven demons in her. She may have had a checkered past. But Jesus invites her in. And she is recorded countless on these 11 occasions around Jesus' death and resurrection as someone who was a witness of all that happened in those the most significant events that would happen on the earth to humanity as God worked out his plan of redemption. So, three things this evening. First of all, we see that Mary Magdalene was someone who was near to the cross. In John chapter 19, verse 25, and Dave Akerman brought some lovely reflections around this at our Good Friday service on Friday. But John 19, verse 20 says these words. It says, near to the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. The Bible says there that when Jesus was hanging on the cross in his most vulnerable moment, in his weakest moment, when things were really going bad to the human mind for Jesus, we see that Mary Magdalene, with all of her history, was there near to the cross, near to the cross. She was willing to stand with Jesus. She was willing to draw close to Jesus. Mary Magdalene was willing to be associated with Jesus, even though to the human eye, the picture of Roman crucifixion in front of her, it only ever ended one way. If you were on a Roman cross, and this is why we can be so confident that Jesus was dead when he was in the grave, if you were on a Roman cross, there was no way that the power of Rome would ever allow you to come down from there alive, yeah? It was their reputation was at stake. It's how they ruled. And so Mary Magdalene, as she drew near to the cross that day, she understood that her rabbi, as she calls him in John 20 that we read together earlier on, she understood that this was only going one way, that he was going to die. And as the human mind would look upon a naked man upon a cross, looking, they would observe that he was defeated, that it was a place of great sadness. In fact, Mary Magdalene would have been, as she was near to the cross, she would have heard the people mocking Jesus. They said these words, they said, he saved others, but he can't save himself. And so there was nothing to be cheery about or cheerful about. The world saw weakness, and the world, in the human perspective, saw defeat. But the wonderful thing about that picture of the cross is that Jesus laid down his strength. He set aside his divinity. He chose to take the restrictions of his humanity, and he laid down his life upon the cross. I read on Twitter this morning, and sometimes it's not a good thing to look on Twitter on a Sunday morning because you can kind of get twittered out. But this guy here, Matthew Paris, if you just put the text up. Yeah, him. He said this. He upset me this morning. The title of the piece in the Times was, I'll choose heroes before martyrs any day. And in the piece, which is actually read, I googled it and asked, I thought, does it matter that this bloke wrote this nonsense about Jesus being weak and some other stuff that I tell you? But actually, the Times on a Saturday is read by 1 million readers across our nation. And Matthew Paris, what he says in the piece is that the cross of Jesus shows the weakness of Jesus. Matthew Paris, in his piece, this is one of his quotes, he says, "The Sermon on the Mount is wrong. Those who mourn, those who are weak, those who are persecuted are not blessed by virtue of their woes." And Simon Paris, what he's saying is that he would rather have a hero figure than a martyr figure. That Jesus, in laying down his life on the cross, it was a position of weakness. The thing is, it's a stupid title. Because when Matthew Paris says, "I'll choose heroes before martyrs any day," if you understood the cross and the significance of it, you'd understand that actually Jesus is the hero. Like, he is the winner. The thing that Matthew doesn't understand, and actually sometimes in Christianity we don't understand, is we think that Jesus ending up on the cross was a surprise to him. Like, he didn't plan for it. He's like, Jesus is on the cross. He's like, "Oh my goodness, I did not expect this to happen." In the piece, there's no mention of the resurrection. Yeah? As Billy Graham said, that without the resurrection, the cross is meaningless. Of course, we understand that. But the fact is that Jesus laid aside his divinity and his majesty. He could have called for many legions of angels to come, but he chose not to, because the cross was gloriously intentional. Like, Jesus set his eyes towards Jerusalem. It was always for the cross. In fact, the Bible says that the Lamb of God was slain before the foundation of the world. Everything was in the plan of redemption. Jesus, even as he starts his ministry, John the Baptist meets him. And what does he say? He says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John the Baptist prophetically saw that Jesus was going to be a sacrifice. In John 10, Jesus said to his disciples, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of evil men, and they will kill him. And when he is killed, after 3 days, he will rise." Jesus knew the plan was the cross. John 13, Jesus permits Judas to go and do what he's going to do quickly. John 18, in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Bible says, Jesus, knowing everything that was going to happen to him, Jesus understood that this was the plan. So Jesus doesn't come to the cross from a place of weakness. He comes to the cross from a place of submission. He submits himself to the will of the Father. He understands why. He understands the journey that he's on. And so we, as followers of Jesus today, we need to understand afresh that the wonderful thing about the cross is that it was God's plan all the way along. That Jesus went with the will of the Father. He submitted himself to it. He chose to do it. And he chose to do it even though he was 100% God and he was 100% man. And Mary Magdalene, she didn't have the revelation that we have now, but she was willing to stay near the cross. So Mary stayed near the cross. We see also that Mary was named at the resurrection, thinking that he was the gardener. She responds to him with the word, "Sir." And in John chapter 20, verse 16, we see that Jesus, the Bible says that Jesus said to her, "Mary, Mary," a woman with a troubled past, perhaps the kind of past you or me might have, was granted the gracious honor of being first to discover the empty tomb, first to be named by the risen Saviour. Mary Magdalene, who would have thought? Plain old Mary. It seems as you look at the scriptures, like everyone was called Mary. Like there's Marys everywhere. There's Mary, the mother of Jesus. There's Mary, the mother of James. There's Mary Magdalene. Like everyone's called Mary. But Jesus knew this Mary. He knew her individually. He knew her by name. Isaiah 43 says, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name." Jesus in John chapter 10, when he talks about the shepherd, he says the good shepherd, what does he do? He knows his own sheep by name. And Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." And when in John chapter 1, John says that as many as believed on his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. Listen, parents this evening, like we might from time to time forget the name of our children. I've got 5 children, yeah? Abigail, Lois, Phoebe, Elizabeth, and Levi. In fact, I have a name that if I'm feeling a little lazy or a little bit 51-ish, that's how old I am, what I do is I just call them George, because then that's kind of all-encompassing. But we know their names. Every parent knows their names. We even know the names maybe of children that have miscarried, because if we name them, we know them because they're precious to us. We never forget their names. And that's what it's like with Jesus. Like, he knows our name. He knows your name. He knew Mary Magdalene's name. He knew her. He knew her story. He knew her history. And when he met her at the tomb that day, he calls her forward by name. He's not forgetful. We're not a number. He knows our name. And so when we meet with him, it's personal. And it was personal. The interaction that we've read this evening from John 20, it's personal. Like, he says her name, Mary, and she turns to him and she says, "Rabbi, teacher." Like, there's relationship there. There's connection there. She met with the risen Savior. And for us this evening, as followers of Jesus, each one of us, we need to have that moment or that moment in our lives where we come and we meet the risen Savior for the first time, and he calls us by name and we respond to him. And that invitation's open to all of us this evening, that we can know what it is to be in relationship with him. Because as Mary met the risen Savior that day, there was no more separation. No more separation. John Piper says this. He says, "The best news of the Christian gospel is that the supremely glorious creator of the universe has acted in Christ Jesus' death and resurrection to remove every obstacle between us and himself, so that we might find everlasting joy in seeing and savoring his infinite beauty." Paul writes to the church at Rome and he says to them, "What shall separate us from the love of Christ?" Because we're known by name, because he's a risen Savior, because nothing else separates us. Paul tells the church, nothing shall separate us from the love of God. Peril, toil, death, life, angels, demons, tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, financial tough times, sickness, illness, depression. Yeah, when things are going well, when things are not going well, the Bible says that all of these things, they don't need to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. And whatever your story is tonight, listen, Jesus knows your name. He knows your story. And he invites you to walk with him, to walk close with him. In following Jesus, we're not promised a get-out-of-jail-free card. Just because we say yes to Jesus, it doesn't mean that life always goes swanningly well, that everything's always great. But the thing that we do know is that when we say yes to Christ, when he knows our name, we can be sure that we can enjoy the consistent love of a Savior. And when Mary met the resurrected Jesus that morning, when he said her name, yeah, everything had changed. Everything had changed. The cross and death and sin, It had all been defeated. And it meant that there was an opportunity for you and me, as followers of Jesus, to understand that we can position our lives, that we can walk them out from a place of victory because of what Jesus has done. So she was named at the resurrection. And finally, this evening, we see that she was a news carrier to the world. John 20, verse 18. Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news. I have seen the Lord. There was no social media. There was no Sky News. There was no Twitter. The way that the news got out, the way that God chose for the news to get out, was through Mary Magdalene. She states her reputation and her experience on what she saw. And she went and she spoke about her experience. What did she say to the disciples? She says, I have seen the Lord. I have seen the Lord. And there was Mary, it seems, had a real confidence in what she'd experienced. And I think my prayer for us this evening as we leave our church gathering in the next moments is that we understand that whatever our story is, that Jesus invites us to walk close to him, that he knows us by name, and that I believe that God wants his church to be confident in our experience of seeing the Lord. That moment, I want us to be confident in the gospel, in the good news. Mary, she went to the disciples and she told the disciples. And what we see then is there was a cascading of the good news. We see that the early church, the thing that they spoke about was that Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. That was their message. It wasn't that God is love or your sins are forgiven. All those things are true. Their message was Jesus is alive. Acts 2, Peter says, but God raised Jesus from the dead. Acts chapter 3, Peter says to the crowd, you killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. Acts chapter 4, the Bible says, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, he says, it's by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but God raised from the dead. Acts chapter 5, the Bible says, as Peter preaches, he says, the God of our fathers raised Jesus Christ from the dead, etc., etc., etc. That was the message of the church, that Jesus is alive. Because if you acknowledge that Jesus is alive, like Tim Keller said in that first statement that I gave, yeah, if you acknowledge that Jesus is alive, then you have to acknowledge that he was more than just a teacher than a man, that he is the Son of God. He has overcome death. He has redeemed us through the cross, and he has given us the gift of salvation. That was the message that the early church gave. And Rome, with all its power and all of its authority, tried to crush Jesus. But 2,000 years later, Rome has gone, and on the planet today, around 2 billion people say that they're Christians. You see, that is the power of the resurrection. That is the power of the gospel. And so for us this evening, Life Church, as we come together now to break bread, Sarah's going to lead us through this. Just encourage us to understand afresh the glorious intention that Jesus had as he placed himself on the cross. Jesus was not a martyr. Jesus didn't have to die. He chose to die. And he is the hero of our faith. And I pray that as we take the bread, as we drink the cup this evening, I'm asking the Lord that the Lord would give us a new confidence in the gospel that we have experienced in our lives. That we'll be confident in simply, in our own words, articulating what Mary Magdalene did. That lady who had 7 evil spirits cast out of her. Her story was that I've seen the Lord. And it was a transformational moment. And for us this evening, I want the fact that we have seen the Lord, I want it to be that we live our lives in the light of the resurrection and that we are a confident resurrection people.
We've come to the end of this week's message. We hope you've been impacted and inspired. Keep up to date with everything that's happening by visiting our website at www.lifechurchwarrington.com.